Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for spending some of your time with us tonight, or whatever time it is, wherever you are and whenever you are, because that's the magic of being able to do this the way we do this. Thanks for hanging out with us. My guest tonight is Emil Faith, and we're going to be talking about being very sensitive, which is a very important topic at this point on the planet. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And we didn't have a live show last week because of various snafus, but last Thursday was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. And that's pretty amazing that there could be a show that went on theme and variations, movies, all the rest of it for 50 years, affecting the way we look at the world, the way we look at the universe, the way we look at relationships. Because what Gene Roddenberry wanted to do was create a show about diversity, about accepting people the way they are, and not only accepting them, but respecting them and including them in everything that was going on. That's how they treated every species they ran across through all of the things that they did. But one of the things that came up for me, Einstein was quoted as saying, if you want your kids to be smart, read them fairy tales. And if you want them to be smarter, read them more fairy tales. Because there's something that goes on in the mind in the conversation between an adult and a child, talking about those moral issues using the representation of those stories with all these powerful characters that are being challenged. And that's exactly what Star Trek has provided for us all these years. And when my daughter was in early elementary school, six, seven, 8 years old, our evening ritual was to finish dinner in time to watch the reruns at that point of Star Trek Next Generation. And we would watch these characters who essentially were fairy tale characters, being who had rules. There was a code of behavior they had to live by, and it would be challenged every time. You know, I always would say, how are they going to get in trouble this time? They had to balance whatever the challenge was and whatever the possible dangers were against their code, against the way that they were responsible to treat all sentient beings. And it was wonderful. It was a fairy tale. And we would, you know, I'd go up to Tucker Inn and we would talk about what the lessons were, what the story was in that particular thing. And we did it for years. Star Trek has been the fairy tale story of the 20th century. And for the people who actually look at what's being said, it's been incredibly powerful. Right now I'm binge watching Next Generation as my continuing commitment to learn the lessons of all these fairy tales. So thank you to everybody who is involved, to Roddenberry and to Lucy of I Love Lucy fame, who overrode the studio and said, yes, I will finance this first episode. Most people don't know that without Lucy and the Desilu Studios, it never would have happened. Fascinating fairy tale for modern times. Thank you to all the people that have been involved in that for all these years. And now let's have some fun with Emil Faith. Dr. Emil Faith, thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure. Looking forward to being with you there, David.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. Your topic is something I talk about all the time because it affects my life so much.
Well, it affects so many people's lives every day. Most people don't realize how it is affecting
them. Right, right. And it's being extremely sensitive and why people are getting more sensitive. And I'm looking forward to going into that. But the question I always ask each guest is, how did you wind up doing the work that you're doing? How did you get here?
Good question. It actually started way back. My first job was at McDonald's. I think many people out there say, hey, my first job at McDonald's, age 15. My mom got me the job, and I got in there, started flipping burgers. But I was really good at order taking in the front. This is the day when McDonald's had an outside front. You didn't come in a lobby. You had all these people lined up at these windows.
Right.
Back in the 60s, 70s. But I became the fastest ticket taker in McDonald's. We'd have contests, and I'd always win. I was diligent. I still am a type A personality. I had to get it done. I was fast. Well, I did really, really well for about 2 months. And after 2 months, the energies of the number of people I interacted with and the pace at which I interacted with them and the level of which I interacted with them created this huge shift in my physical and emotional makeup. And literally, I crashed after 3 months of working around that many people over that short a period of time.
Right.
And after that, I went into a two-week long viral candida, God knows what it was, illness, energy illness. And after I came out of that 2 weeks, David, I was not the same. Mm-hmm. My mood was horrible. I didn't understand my life. I didn't understand what I was doing in this life. And I became a completely different person. And that was really the beginning, the genesis of this. But, you know, I always knew that I was different than the others. I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't really want a lot of friends, and people didn't get me. You know what? I didn't get them either. It was like this. I was an isolated little island kind of guy that just couldn't make sense of it all. I knew that I could feel things about people. I sensed things about people, but it was just at this point. It didn't make sense. Nothing was clicking. And then after, you know, my folks got worried and said, oh, what's wrong with him? He's depressed. We need to take him to the doctor. And they did all the tests, and they went and checked my thyroid back. Checking the thyroid back in the 70s, that was like a big deal. Yeah. Everything came back normal. Nothing wrong with you. I said, there's something different. There's something wrong here. I don't know what it is yet. And here I'm age 15, 16. What do I know?
Right.
So that just kept going on and on, and it literally took me, oh, I'd say another 20 years, David, for me to figure out, hey, you have food allergies. Hey, you're sensitive to the energies of other people. Hey, you can't be around toxins. Hey, you can't have mercury fillings. And I had a mouthful of mercury fillings in my mouth, put in at a very early age, against my will. I had no knowledge, and I didn't approve of it. None of us did back then. But that, all of that just ended up just totally propelling me into a different mindset and a different look at how I look at people, life, the planet, and what I'm supposed to be doing here. And it's been a journey from there in terms of, you know, getting into the healing field. My folks wanted me to be a doctor, an MD, and I said, I don't want to be an MD. I ended up going to pharmacy school instead at USC. And I remember graduating in 81, and I remember saying to myself in 1981, saying, this is not going to be your ordinary practice of pharmacy. And it hasn't been. It's been a very interesting journey through natural medicine, supplements, learning about diet, learning about how to detox, and ultimately learning that, hey, I've got a gift here. I have something I can bring to this planet and help people with. And it just went from there. And then the books came out, and the private practice came out, and here we are today.
It's always amazing to me how people started out and what it took. I mean, at 15, you knew. You didn't know how to sort it out, but you knew pretty much what was going on.
Well, I knew that I was the black sheep of the family, and I was the oldest. I'm the oldest of four, and, you know, they would... It's like no one wanted to hang out with me. My brother, we got along fine, but he had his girls, and I had no one. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I was the loner. I was the black sheep. I was the one that was the introvert, the thinker, the wanderer, the wanderer. You know, it was all of that.
Right.
now. You know
right.
how it goes.
I totally understand. Been there, done that. So you came into the natural healing world through the pharmaceutical world.
It's true.
Which is an interesting path.
Yeah, it's funny. All along the way, people would say, isn't that a conflict of interest? And I'm like, no, contrary. That is the beautiful thing to know both sides. But the way it started was I ended up running a buddy of mine called me up. I was doing pharmacy in hospital for about 20 years or so. And then a buddy called me up and says, hey, I have a retail job I want you to do. I want you to run a supermarket pharmacy for me. We worked together before and he knew me. I said, retail? I'm going to work in a retail pharmacy? Nah. I ended up taking the job, of course. It was a slow retail pharmacy, but it gave me the opportunity to read and study, because I was like, I had this affinity toward learning about naturals. Like, there's got to be other ways to get people well, because, hey, I got people coming in here for prescriptions. They got 6 prescriptions here. Then they're bringing me 6 more, half of those to treat the side effects of the first 6. I'm like, what's going on right here? I got a dozen meds on here. The patient is not getting, it's not losing any weight. They're still depressed. They're still not sleeping. I'm like, something's missing. So that's when I started exploring herbs. And back in the day, and this was like 80s, I started putting a few herbs out in the pharmacy without their permission to see if I could sell them. They're herbs, and people loved them, and I experimented. Hey, try this for this. Echinacea, try that. Try St. John's wort for mood. You know, and it worked, and that just really propelled me into the whole natural health field at that point.
So tell me about, obviously, books out there, which are the focus of various things that you've done. So what was the focus of each of the books?
Well, the first book, I just felt I had some, I've been thinking, and I always felt that I had something to say. And we think we all have something to say, but sometimes we really feel compelled to get it out there. The first book was called Natural Cues, A Guide to Healthy Living. And what it was designed to be originally was a primer, really, for my pharmacist buddies who knew nothing about the top 10 herbs. So I put it in a little format, and I said, this is what you use it with, this is what you use it for, this is when you don't use it, here are the side effects, here are the contraindications. So it's a very simple, easy read for both the professional and the layperson, just to get an idea of, it's kind of a fun book, how to use the top, I think, 20 herbs or vitamins in there. So that was the first book. And then after that, I was a book about clearing oneself. I began to realize that, hey, we pick up stuff during the day. I'm feeling the energies of people. I'm beginning to realize this. I'm beginning to realize that I'm consuming or I'm being absorbed or I'm being harmed by the toxins in my environment, including energetic toxins, environmental toxins, food toxins. So the next book was called Extreme Clearing for Perfect Health. So it's a way to learn how to cleanse your body of all the toxins in your life, including emotional, physical, energetic, and, of course, other environmental toxins in food. So that was that book. And right about that time, David, within about 2 or 3 years from then, I had a thriving private practice going in natural medicine, and I began to notice a trend. I had people coming in to me that all seemed to have this very unique makeup about them. They weren't the people I remember growing up with. These are people that seemed to be extra gifted, extra in tune with themselves, with the planet. They seemed to be thrown out of balance physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, especially hormones and thyroid and moods and sleep more easily than the people I remember. And it just became to see, I started to see this trend. I'm going, there's something different. I'm attracting somehow these individuals who have unique makeup. They're not like everybody else. And that was when the whole sensitive thing came about. I'm like, wait a minute, these people are empaths. They feel right. things. They feel things that I feel. They're healers. Most of them are healers. Healing the healers, and we still heal the healers.
Right.
Because we're the ones that are the sensitive ones. I mean, being a sensitive person is a double-edged sword. It's a great gift. It's an opportunity to take what you have in you and either look in the body or use your hand on healing or your intuitive abilities to determine what's wrong with somebody or a combination thereof or many other things that we can do. But these people are healers, like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have great healing energy. And so, you know, this, I began to notice this trend and wrote the book. It's like, okay, I got to talk about this, because that's when I began to realize that my journey was really similar to the journeys of these people who had come in to see me, and I was attracting them. You know, the whole secret thing, you know, like attracts like. Well, it's not a secret. It's been going on forever, but the whole concept is very real, and it just blew me away. I'm going, wait a second here. I want to explore this further, and I just started journaling on this and started keeping track of these very interesting case studies and these patients of mine who had these very unique trials and tribulations in their life, you know, issues with food allergies, issues with not being able to go out in the environment, or even leave the house, unable to hold down a 9-to-5 job. And I tell you what, after that whole McDonald's thing, that was my first big hit. It was my first job, and I couldn't hold that down. And every traditional job, really, thereafter, I had a challenge getting through that, literally, that 9-to-5, that 3D 9-to-5.
Right.
And so did all of these people who'd come to see me. They had the same troubles I did, and others, more troubles. So it was a very interesting find, and I just have been blessed to be able to work with individuals like that, and I do a lot of seminars and teaching and on the subject. So it's very near and dear to my heart for very obvious reasons.
And it's wonderful work, and I'm glad you found a way of getting it out there, and I certainly want to see the books and talk to you about some specific things. But we started talking before we got on the air about what's going on right now and the changes on the planet and how that's affecting the sensitive people more, but really everybody on the planet, even though they don't realize it. So I'm sure you notice it in different ways than I do, but how would you explain what's going on the planet at the moment?
Well, a couple of things. Let's back up a couple of steps. Number one, let's talk, if we don't mind, we'll talk a little bit about some of the traits and of the ultra sensitive. Well, here's one of the biggest traits, and the reason I bring it up is it has everything to do with these energy shifts right now, and that is that most everybody, first of all, as ultra sensitive, we vibrate at a very high metabolic rate, and we vibrate at a very high energetic rate. Think of a hummingbird. You know, we're vibrating at that flap, you know, those 50 beats per minute. We're vibrating at that higher vibration. And that burns a lot of calories. And that burns a lot of protein. And we are burning through nutrients as ultra-sensitive individuals. In addition to that, many people who are ultra-sensitive, in fact, much of the planet, but most all of the ultra-sensitives are nutrient deficient. That's because they have leaky gut syndrome. That's because they have a sensitive gut. That's because they're eating foods and they're allergic to. That's because they have a candida or yeast overgrowth in their gut, which is worsening that absorption of the nutrients. So at the end of the day, what's happening now is all of these, many people are nutrient deficient, but those who are less sensitive seem to be more resilient in general. But those who are sensitive, who have very sensitive organ systems and sensitive immune systems, sensitive everything, doesn't take much for us to go down energetically, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. And you know, the whole chronic fatigue thing, that's the hallmark sign that individual is an ultra-sensitive being. So, you know, chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, for me, one of the same condition, you know, all set off by a viral infection, usually the Epstein-Barr virus. And basically all of these things take us down. And for those who are not as hardy, if we're not as emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically as hardy as those who are less sensitive, but by the way, that doesn't make us better. It makes us different than those who are less sensitive. But this is our gift and our role. So we're basically all nutrient deficient, mostly protein deficient, and mostly deficient in vitamin B12, vitamin B6. Iodine is a huge deficiency that's very common. Magnesium, potassium, the classic stuff. And all of these deficiencies, David, are leading to organ weakness, or the energy signatures of those organs, the specific organs, we're basically starving ourselves. And that is why we're seeing so many of these people come in with thyroid issues, hormone issues, chronic fatigue issues, that's liver and adrenal issues, is classically liver right. And adrenal is chronic fatigue. So we are really nutrient deficient, and we blow through calories and nutrients, as I say, so quickly. So the whole thing going on right now with the energy is zooming up on we're vibrating. I think the planet, I don't know exactly what the megahertz are, but I think the megahertz that the Earth is vibrating at, I think it's almost double from where it was like 100 years ago. About, yeah, is that correct?
It's about double. Yeah, the core frequency is almost double. That's
so
exactly
here,
right.
Here we are as energy-sensitive individuals. We are empaths. We are all energy. All of us are all energy, but we are empathic. So we feel these energies, and it doesn't take much for us to blow a circuit. And right. I have people blowing circuits all the time, and so they're the ones that end up in my office and other people's offices looking for help. And hopefully they're getting the help they need and don't end up in a more traditional setting where someone may say, hey, you need to be on some psych meds, or you need to be on, right. antidepressants. Right. And this, unfortunately, does happen.
Right. That's a whole other topic that I love talking about, is that line between mystical experiences that most people don't have any way of integrating and don't understand,
sure.
and being identified as crazy because the doctors don't have a healthy cubbyhole to put you in if you have those experiences.
Sure.
And I've worked in locked psych units where I could see who the voices were that the people were talking to.
I love that. This is interesting. You know, psych was my favorite rotation in pharmacy school. I loved it. And I was going to do a residency in psych. And, I was obviously drawn to it. But you're right on with that. And it's sometimes hard. There's a blurry line between being ultra gifted and, reality. So, as ultra sensitives, right. I'm sure many of you who are listening to this can attest to the fact there are times you don't even know if you're feeling like you're in your body. You feel like you're not really there. And in many cases, not all of you is there. And
the other thing that I see in my practice with that is that anyone who has any version of PTSD from any kind of abuse, on a spectrum from returning vets to people who have been abused as children in any way, are chronically out of their body. They close their lower chakras.
Yeah.
And there's a whole reason for that we don't have to get into. But that sets up the vulnerability for all kinds of other things. They are out of their body.
Absolutely correct. It's a fascinating field, and I truly enjoy helping these individuals as much as I can, because all of this can be fixed. Most everything can be handled naturally. I hate to use the word naturally, such a thrown away word, but can be handled without having to do some of the dramatic things that have been done in the past for those issues.
Right, right. And we're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes, but I want to go more deeply into the kinds of strategies that you offer people and the kinds of things that people should be aware of are sensitivities, and some of the other stuff that's going on the planet that I know is kicking me around the block.
I'm sure it's affecting
some other people. So this is, I'm excited to be able to have the conversation, but I'm even more excited that you have an approach that's so different from the one that I know.
Okay.
That you're doing the metabolic stuff and the nutritional stuff that will bring the physical back into balance, and I haven't really found anybody who had that information, so I'm really excited.
Super.
And I'm sure there are other people listening who are going, oh, really? There's a way to deal with this? So that's a very, very exciting thing. Let's give people your contact information online so they can find you.
Sure. The website address is healingwizards.com.
Fantastic. And are you offering any special programs or anything that they should know about?
I'm happy to offer to extend actually a 10% discount off my full evaluation to those who have heard who are going to hear this show. So I just mentioned the fact that David and I were chatting on the radio, and I will be happy to extend a 10% off on your initial consultation with me.
That's fantastic, and we'll put that up on the Empower website, so people, when they listen to the show and find the link for the show, will be able to take advantage of that. Thank you so much for providing that. So we're going to go to a break. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest tonight is Emil Faith. We're talking about being ultra sensitive and what you can do about it, which is even more more important, you're listening to the Farkas Files. This is David Franklin Farkas. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free to be me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not so far away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side, and you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Dr. Emil Faith, and we're talking about ultra-sensitive people, what's affecting us, and what we can do about it. And I'm excited about it.
Me too.
The things that I have found for me seem to be kicking me around are solar activity, which I hadn't heard of until about a year ago.
Right.
Solar flares, solar winds, and the geomagnetic storms that they cause. And you were talking about chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia symptoms. I don't usually have that kind of thing. I've got, you know, some aches and pains, but there are days when it's like sudden onset fibromyalgia right down to the brain fog and being unfocused.
Right.
And it'll be that way for a couple of days, and then it's gone.
right? Happens to a lot of people.
Which is totally crazy making. Why do I feel sick? You know, I finally figured out what it is, and I just kind of shrugged my shoulders. So tomorrow night, it's Mercury retrograde. Tomorrow night is a full moon with a full lunar eclipse.
This should be for an interesting night. This should be a very interesting day and night.
Right. It'll be beautiful and it'll be a powerful night, but who knows what the effects on our bodies will be. And if it happens to be a high solar activity moment.
Absolutely. Well, think about the term, but we used it loosely back in the 70s, lunatic. I mean, come on now.
Right.
This is, you know, the moon, full moon time, people get a little different. They get a little weird. They get a little crazy. And not just on the day, but several days before and several days after. So a testament to that.
And anybody who has done emergency work or worked in a psych hospital or worked with kids can attest to that. It's real obvious.
It is very real, too.
Yeah. So what are the patterns that you are seeing for people and what kinds of suggestions do you have for people dealing with it themselves, but also what can you offer them?
Okay, in terms of the ultra sensitivity, number one thing is to protect yourself from unwanted energies. Now, that's a big bowl of soup there, but basically, stay away from negative people. Stay away from negative energies. And if you're in any kind of relationship, whether it's a work relationship or romantic relationship, and I'm not telling anybody to leave their relationships, but be aware of it. Be aware that oftentimes as the extreme empath that you are, I mean, that's the classic gift, the hallmark gift of an ultrasensitive is we feel energies. And we transmit energies as well. If you're not feeling comfortable in your 9-to-5 job or with your boss, or you're not feeling comfortable in any kind of relationship, take a hard look at it. Because you're taking home what you feel. And oftentimes when we go home and we don't feel right, it's not us we're feeling, it's the other people we've interacted with. And many of us, I had to get out of corporate America. I could not continue to do this. I'd be running into hospital meetings and running around sick and unfortunately dying people. And gee, this was just, it was taking my breath away. I could not do that anymore.
Yep.
So we do feel that. Which one is protect yourself? Stay, you know, a lot of people have a hard time leaving their home. There are some people who are extreme ultra-sensitives that can't leave their room. They can't hold down the job. They're sensitive to everything. Here's an example. I had a gal that used to shop at one of our health food stores, and she couldn't come in the store because in the day we had register ribbon. So she couldn't handle the smell of the odor of the ribbon of the register.
Right.
So she had to knock on the glass window, and we'd hand her stuff. So those kinds of cases exist. One of the things that's most important, though, David, that I want your listeners to understand is most of us have an issue with the different C word, and that is the candida. Candida is the silent plague of the planet. Everyone has some. We should have some candida. The problem is with the stress levels, the prescription drugs that we use, like steroids, birth control, and other medicines that can make candida, a friendly yeast, go crazy. And when it does, it is the culprit behind so many of the chronic and acute health conditions that are plaguing not just ultrasensitives, but everyone. So the key is to control candida, get it under control, and cleanse that candida load down. There are many individuals who have mercury amalgams in their mouths. Mm-hmm. It's a split decision on this. It's do you take the amalgams out, or do you leave them in and cleanse, or do you cleanse in both cases? The key is if you don't get rid of the heavy metal load, which most people who have been exposed to mercury amalgams have a heavy metal mercury load, if you don't get rid of that mercury load and you do a candida cleanse, that candida is coming right back because it is the candida is trying to protect the body, working to protect the body against the heavy metals, hence they become chelated together.
Right.
So cleansing heavy metals, candida cleanse, goes a long way to restoring your gut health, and then we need to heal the gut. When we heal the gut, we heal our body. And that is crucial.
And so, go ahead.
I was just going to say a couple of the things I like to use to heal the gut, and one of the big ones is called glutamine. I use glutamine, so it's a natural anti-inflammatory, and most folks do extremely well with that, to begin to take down the inflammation in our gut. And most of us have inflamed guts, and most of us are allergic to some of the foods, if not many of the foods that we're consuming. So it's not just the candida, it's the food allergies, it's the stress, It's the prescription medicines we may or may not be taking, a combination of things that create an inflammatory response in the GI tract, and that is one of the biggest problems that ultrasensitives and other people face today.
So we're, in effect, we're looking at the wrong place. Our symptoms are body aches and assorted other things, and what's really going on is a problem in the gut.
It starts in the gut. Now, very likely, most everybody is dealing with adrenal stress and adrenal fatigue. That's that gland right on top of the kidneys. And that's the gland that makes cortisol and gives us energy, creates our sex hormones and all of that. And most people, because of the nutrient deficiencies created by the leaky gut, which was in turn created by the candida overload in the gut, and the inflammation it causes, those nutrient deficiencies then begin to weaken, as I mentioned earlier, weaken the liver, weaken the thyroid, because now we're iodine deficient, and the adrenal glands are not getting the nutrients they need. And that triad of a weak adrenals, weak liver, and low thyroid will create, for many people, fatigue, chronic fatigue, and many other conditions, weight gain, muscle aches and pains, and so forth.
Sounds very familiar.
As well as mood issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, another classic symptom of the ultrasensitive is we tend to get moody.
Right.
Part of it is we're feeling all the energies of the planet. We're feeling stuff beyond the planet.
Right. And one of the things when I realize someone is an empath is I tell them to always ask, is this mine? Is this emotion that's coming through me that I'm feeling mine? Because you can't process someone else's emotions in your own body. And you can learn to not take it on by asking the question. But I know a lot of people that are sensitive to the emotions of large groups of people on the planet. So I had a friend who would call me up totally freaked out and crying and wondering whether she was going crazy. We finally figured out that any time a large group of mothers and children were in danger, she felt all of it. She felt the mother's pain.
This is a very real and very intense feeling that so many ultrasensitives on the planet are facing every day. And by the way, there are not just a few of us out there. There
right.
are tens of millions of ultrasensitive people, most of them, David, cloistered away in a place they don't feel safe talking to anybody about it.
Right.
They're not. Many of them are truly non-functional. They can't leave the house, and they cross the globe. There are no barriers of race, color, creed, age. It's all across the board. In every nation, there are ultrasensitive people doing their work, and many who cannot do their work because they are not able to function. For the
right, or they're creative people, and being alone works for them.
Correct. And some people choose that. Well, we choose that because we know out of necessity we feel more
right.
comfortable. And I've always been that, you know, people, I don't really, you know, I grew up not having friends, and I kind of like, every time I think about, you know, there's some people I'd like to get to know, but sometimes I just want my space. I really can't
right.
share it.
Right. Right. For me, when people say, let's go to a concert or, you know, certainly not a sporting event because I have no interest, but anything that's a venue with lots of people that are being emotional, I can't even get close.
Correct. Now, I know how that goes. But when I was younger, we did the concerts. I was able to do some of that. Now, did it take a toll on my physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, energetic health? Well, it sure did. But nowadays, I'm with you. I'm like, I don't want to go. I mean, I love to go see the oldies bands perform. I don't go.
Well, the other thing is my work, a lot of my work is clearing places, clearing locations. So I know what's going on there, and I know there's a way to get rid of it, but it's not my job.
That's right. That's right.
And besides, that's what the place is there for, so they're just going to make it all happen again with the next event.
Exactly.
But, you know, for lots of people, that's an issue. And I remember as a kid in New York riding the subways. I rode the subways to school, to high school and to college. And it was incredibly demanding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can remember the days in pharmacy school. I lived in the dorm And my buddy and I, we'd go shopping for our little dorm, and I'd go in the grocery store, and I still have this problem. I go down the aisles in the grocery store, and I can only get about three or four of them before I really start feeling panicky. I mean, I had overt panic attacks from age 16 to 20. I mean, I was just shaking like a leaf constantly. And then when, within the next 5 years, I had to, figure out how to get down the aisles of the grocery store, figure out how to be around people, figure out how to be in a classroom of 150 people. It was a challenge.
Right. Right. And it certainly gets, I think, more intense and harder to deal with as you get older.
That is absolutely true. I didn't expect it that way. I mean, I knew it would change, but that is absolutely the truth.
You know, the same resiliency that we have as kids that make bumps and bruises and strains go away in a couple of days and you just keep going. It's the same with the emotional and psychic bumps and bruises and strains. It's just not as easy to bounce back.
Yeah, we don't have that reserve anymore. It's not there. Mm-hmm. We can't take anymore. We're full.
I just remembered a line from Welcome Back, Cotter, if you remember that TV show.
I remember the show. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Mr. Cotter, my brain's full. Can I go home now?
That's the way it feels. And if you're an ultrasensitive, you know what we're talking about.
I've had enough. I can't stay here anymore. Let me out of here.
I've had days like that. Oh,
absolutely. I have days like that alone at home in my office, you know.
Correct. I understand exactly what you're talking about. But so, this whole thing with the solar activity, it's a very real deal. You know, it took me a while. I didn't figure that one out until about 10 years ago. I'm like, wait a minute. Are we having a full moon or something? Because I feel horrible. My mood has crashed. Everyone around me, I'm angry. It's like, I'm not normally angry. What's going on here? You know, so that's a very important thing, the astrological changes, the solar activity, all of the energies, of course. Remember the one thing we have to remember as ultrasensitive, we are empathic. If you remember that, you'll understand why you may be feeling out of sorts from time to time.
Well, and it's also things that go on the planet that create an emotional upset for large groups of people, which they've now... almost every physics department now has a random number generator. It's a computer that just puts out random ones and zeros. And they look for how the randomness is affected by a major event. 9/11, Princess Diana dying, O.J. Simpson, you know, whatever it is that gets a lot of focus and a lot of emotion. And it will skew the randomness.
Yep, no doubt. I mean, so, everything is random, but nothing is random. I mean,
right. So they're showing that the emotions of a large group of people being focused on anything affects the physics of what's going on, in addition to the more esoteric aspects of it. And there are so many things going on in the world at this point for people to be upset about, that it's just a soup of very intense emotions.
Well, it's not just that, David. In addition to that, I mean, we have now with our little handheld devices, we have immediate access to all the trauma. You know, in the old days, if you got home after work, I remember my parents sitting in front of the TV in the 60s watching the Vietnam War on TV. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Well, we had choice. I could walk in the door and watch it. Now you got your device, and whether you want it or not, it's instantaneous, and there it is. You like it or not, you know?
You don't have to look at that stuff on your device, or you can get headlines. I mean, there are ways to screen it.
That's true.
And that's part of it, is people find the kind of hype that soups them up in a way that they like. And, you know, whether it's celebrity gossip, which I just don't understand at all, or sports, you know, the level of emotion, you know, basically tribal emotion that gets put into professional sports is just
enormous.
I look at it and shake my head. Of course, I was traumatized by the Dodgers leaving Brooklyn.
Were you? Okay. Wow.
Well, it was... The stadium was in a neighborhood. People went there by trolley. It was really the focus of 4 million people. It was part of the identity, the group identity of this very large community.
Yeah.
And as a business decision, they went, no, you're not going to build us a better stadium. We're out of here. And lots of people, including my dad and myself, were like, oh, it's a business. They don't care about us. Didn't matter how much we put into it.
It's true.
How much we care. The Dodgers, Ebbets Field had a group of musicians that came to every home game, and they would do a musical commentary of what was going on the field.
Really?
Yeah, it was a comedy thing that they did. They'd make fun of the umpires, they'd make fun of the other team and all kinds of other stuff. They did it for decades.
Hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's called the Symphony. There were all kinds of things that went on. It was very much a focus of a community. And then it was gone.
Yeah, that would be traumatic.
And, you know, so I have absolutely no interest because I know it's a business.
Well, yeah.
They're just trying to get your money. So.
And now it's a very, very big business.
Very big business. Very big business. But, you know, there are so many others, you know, all the movie franchises.
All right.
All the movie series like Star Wars and Star Trek, which I think are positive messages, but there are a lot that aren't. So, you know, people decide where they're going to get their emotional juice.
And they seek it.
Right. Right, rather than seeking things that calm them down, and you know, which is one of the reasons that the core teaching of almost every practice is some form of meditation.
Right.
Just
very
to reverse.
Calming. Yeah, very calming, right. Energetically clearing, energetically invigorating, and so forth.
Right.
And one of the things I want to mention, speaking of exposures and the types of things we're talking about, is this whole thing about EMF, the electronic magnetic fields. Now, you know, our exposures, of course, have gone through the roof, astronomical over the last 50 years. We've got smart meters, we've got smartphones, we've got smart TVs now. Everything's smart, but we're being dumb by letting those smart things, and hey, I'll be the first to tell you, I own a smartphone. It took me a while to get there. I really wasn't going to do that for various reasons. One of them was that. But I use it sparingly. But the point is, as energy receivers, these are things that can definitely affect you. And I don't want to push this into the ground too much, but the point is,
right,
we are affected by it. We're affected by the wireless transmissions of...
Right, and some people are extremely sensitive to it, and will get into a place with, you know, a Wi-Fi, multiple Wi-Fi nodes in an office or a hospital or something else, and they walk in and they don't know why they're suddenly feeling sick and emotional, and it's just that there is so much Wi-Fi and it's multiple signals going in different directions, and they're like, it just screws you up.
It does screw you up. It's blowing our circuits, as I like to say.
Yeah.
I had a gal that I was working with. She worked in a multi-story building. She was a project manager, and she had her office was moved, and then she had a new desk location, and all of a sudden she was feeling horrible. She had chronic fatigue. Well, it turns out, as we did the inquiry, it's like, excuse me, but what's behind, because I was sensing something's right, not right near. She was right behind the main panel, electric panel, of this entire multi-story building, and that's
right,
where she was sitting, and she was an ultra-sensitive.
Right,
like, well,
and people don't realize that just electrical wires have an electromagnetic field around them, and if you've got a lot of current running through them, it's intense.
Absolutely. And it can change your mood, can change your energy, can change your sleep patterns.
Yep.
I know that I don't sleep. If I'm exposed to fluorescent lights for any period of time, if I'm exposed to being in front of a computer screen for any period of time, I'm going to be awake most of that following night.
Right.
And
right.
Any other people feel
totally
that way?
No. Or they just don't understand why. They have no idea why. And it gets more and more complicated as all of this stuff gets, in quotation marks, more sophisticated,
yeah,
which usually just means power of whatever it is at higher frequencies, usually.
Yes, and more accessible, too.
Yeah, right.
And more accessible.
Right. So this is, you know, this is stuff I love talking about. It's always exciting to me to be able to give people another way to understand this. I mention it constantly, but I'm really excited that you have so much detailed information about specific kinds of things that go on in response to different kinds of stimuli and things that people can do. So I hope that they will get in touch with you.
Sure.
So what would you say is, besides awareness and protecting yourself, what would you say is the most important things that people can be doing for themselves if they're ultra sensitive?
Well, get food allergy tested, number one. Be sure, limit, for the most part, 90 to 95% of the population on the planet is allergic to wheat and gluten. Gluten intolerance. I don't want to paint a horrible picture for gluten. There's days I can't live without it and I have to have a slice of pizza. And I'm going to go with that there, you know. And I'm not a believer in extreme deprivation. That's counterproductive. But in general, you should kind of watch the amount of dairy, gluten, and wheat that we're consuming. Now, not everybody's allergic to dairy and wheat, but most people are. And ultrasensitives can really be affected tremendously by food allergies. And other common allergens are tomatoes. What do we grow up with tomatoes? White potatoes. About 70% of the population, in my experience, is allergic to strawberries, the tastiest, best-looking fruit on the planet, all right? But it's one of the most hyperallergenic foods you can consume, and many, many people have issues with strawberries. So getting food allergy tested is a good idea. Make sure you're consuming plenty of protein. Use digestive enzyme to help digest those foods, because right now, even if we don't do anything about the inflammation in the gut and don't have to treat the candida overgrowth right away, we do want to absorb nutrients better.
Right.
So eat protein, eat it frequently. Remember in the old days, we would get teased if we ate too much, especially the girls. You're a grazer, you're a cow, you're great. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing, as it turns out.
Right.
We need protein frequently. So every 3 to 4 hours, have a little bite of your favorite protein. You don't need a lot of it, you need the frequency of it. And you'll feel better. You're gonna feed your malnourished body. You're literally, most ultrasensitives are starving. And they're also dehydrated. So those key things right there are going to take care of that.
Well, Emil, we could keep talking for a long time, but we're running out of time on the show. So we can do this again if you like.
And absolutely.
Love to do that. And if you would, stay on the line after the show and we can chat for a few minutes if you have the time.
Sure.
Again, give people your website.
It's www.healingwizards.com. That's plural, healingwizards.com.
Fantastic. And again, you're offering a 10% discount to anybody who mentions that they heard you on the show.
Correct. 10% discount off of my full evaluation with them. 10% off if you mention the show. I'll be happy to extend that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
My guest tonight is Dr. Emil Faith, and I am so glad we got to have this conversation.
Me too. I loved it.
Wonderful. This has been wonderful. And if by chance you got curious about this guy, David, and what in the world does he do? You can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view is every technology for getting in touch with me, including a link for scheduling a 20-minute free assessment of whatever's going on with a person, place, situation, business, whatever it might be, and we can see if my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information about the show, that's, again, cleverly hiding at thefarkasfiles.com. We've been doing this for 5 years, so there's an archive there of hundreds of conversations with amazing people. And please take advantage of that. Empower Radio has wonderful shows 24/7. So there are many, many shows, and the archive is full of things that will be helpful in your life and encourage you in all kinds of ways. You can listen to it. The easiest way to listen to it now is with the smartphone apps for both flavors of smartphones. You can get that at empowerradio.com. We're also on almost every streaming media outlet, including TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, iTunes Podcasts. We're all over the place. Just search for Empower Radio, or if you're looking for me, search for Farkas Files. And it's very exciting to me that we have all of these ways to make it easy for you to take advantage of this. There's so much good stuff there. And I'm always excited when somebody from a place I never would have guessed says, oh, I listen to your show all the time. It made, you know, it's a part of my day and I get so much from it. That's why I do this. It's not because there's money in it. It's because it's fun and I meet great people and you get to listen to it. So until next week, I hope you stay focused on what's good in your life. Take care of yourself, which is what we've been talking about all evening. And until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.